Lord, we just thank you so much. We thank you for our kids, for our teens, Lord. We thank you for our children. Lord, we ask that you'd be with them today, that you would be encouraging them, that you'd be with the leaders today, that they would hear the gospel, that they would see you, Lord. Father, we thank you that that you don't want them just growing up in the church, but we want them growing up in Christ and the truth of your word and your love. So, Lord, we not only pray for our children, but we pray for us right now, Lord. Be with our time together as we seek the truth of your word, Lord. Prepare our hearts and minds for what you would have for us. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives, Lord. Father, we ask that, as we come to the giver of life, Father, as we come to the one who conquered death, as we come to the one who conquers sin, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us in a new way, Lord, through your word, that we would be moved by the truth of the word of God, of your word, and Lord, that our lives would look different because we live out that truth a little bit more because of spending time with you and hearing from you. Lord, bless this time. Use it for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wanted to start out with asking a question as we continue on in our Tall Trees Deep Roots series of really preparing in the Word of God, of having our roots go deep into His truth so that we produce the kind of fruit that He's asking from us. And I wanted to start out with this question. Have you ever heard Christ speak to your heart? Have you ever heard from him in such a way that you were moved to do something different than what you were doing? I want to encourage us. Sometimes we get so focused on the truth of the word, which is a good thing. But the truth of the word is God speaking to us so that we hear from him and things in our lives change. Things we wouldn't have done before, people we wouldn't have talked to before. Maybe those that are a little harder to love and a little easier to judge. Maybe we're challenged to put down that judgmental spirit or that reactionary spirit and love those who are a little harder to love. To see people for who God has made them rather than the things that we see that can annoy us. So you'll understand why it was a little shocking when God called me on it today. Or not today, this week. I'm preparing this message. And as we get into the message, you'll see the irony of it. But as I'm preparing the message for today, I was going into a Starbucks earlier this week, and as I was going in, I passed right by somebody. Have you ever passed by somebody who's homeless and you almost don't see them? Have you ever caught yourself just walking by somebody, and because of the state that they're in, it's almost like you just walk by without noticing? Often if I'm walking in places and I'm passing by people, what's a common thing is you make eye contact. You smile, say hello. You're pleasant. So as I'm preparing a message about this man who was used to not being seen, I find myself passing by somebody and I didn't look at him to make eye contact. I just kind of went by, and as I got to the door and was opening it and going through, I realized I only saw them with my peripheral. I didn't even engage. And I had a hard time with that, I got to tell you. Because I'd just been going over the message and the scripture that we're going over here. And I was pleased that the person was still there because I got to have some contact on the way out. And it was one of those things where God spoke to me and I had to listen and I had to readjust my life and readjust my mindset. But it just, It's another reminder to me of how much we need the Lord to give us eyes to see and ears to hear with his eyes and with his ears. Starting in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon, now a man who was lame from what? From birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. What a beautiful setup to a story. Now this guy, we find out in verse 22 of chapter 4 that this man was over 40 years old. Over 40 years old. And he's been lame since birth. And so what's taking place? He's not going out, he's being carried and put in the same place for over 40 years. Dependent on people to get him out there. Now, this is a gate that Peter and John would have been walking in and out of time and again and time and again and time and again. But something is happening here. What was the man expecting when he gets the attention of Peter and John? What's he expecting? Well, he's expecting some cash. He's expecting to get something of earthly value. And he's with this expectation. It says, but in verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Now I want to ask this question, because this is something that we hear all the time. To be healed, you've got to have enough faith. Now, this man had been set there for over 40 years at the temple gate. Every morning he gets picked up, he gets carried over. Does he have, is it his faith that is at issue here? What's he expecting, remember? What's he expecting? Money. He's not expecting a healing. Who has faith in this story? Who? Peter, right? Peter. But who's the one who heals? Jesus. Jesus. Now, this is something to me that, man, gives me a hope that, you know what? If I can hear from God, if I can hear what he's telling me, and I respond to his leading, not my leading, saying, "God bless me, I want to do this." But if I am in tune with what God is saying, and I hear from him, and he's asking me to reach out and minister or love or share or be kind, that it's using what he is doing, I become a part of what he is doing, and I get to be a part of the blessing. Have you ever been a part of the blessing of God where you got to lead somebody to the Lord? There's nothing greater than God using even you, even me, to bring somebody to faith in Christ. But there's something unique about this. It says, this man who was lame every day, who's sitting by the temple gate, it's called Beautiful, and he was put there every day. And it says, Peter looks straight at him. And I love this because he's walking by, he just as he's gone day after day after day, but as he's going through the temple courts this time, why do you think he looks? I believe it's because he hears, "I want you to deal with this man today." And all of a sudden, Peter zones in and he's got him locked. And John too. And they're hearing from the Spirit of God. They're hearing God himself. Guys, God takes pleasure in healing. God takes pleasure in doing miraculous things in people's lives. And I got to tell you, I grew up in the Plymouth Brethren Church. I grew up very old school, a church that was very uncomfortable with healing. A church that was very, you know, that was for then, not for now. And as a result, my kind of general thought process, I'm not naturally geared towards thinking, God's going to do something miraculous today. God is greater than this situation. God is more powerful. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us. Look at us. God has something for you." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." In the name. You see, Christ, Jesus, had called Peter to display the power of God for his purpose this day. I believe, because the Word of God said that are we in the last days? We might not be in the end of the last days, but we're in the time after Christ's coming. So we're in this time of the last days. We're in that time where Christ has come, where now the church has started, and he said, we will do even greater things than these, the works of Christ. I got to tell you, my faith is small at times because I don't walk around thinking, what has God got for me and for us and for the people around me today? So often I'm consumed by my schedule, what I have to do, the things that, not that those are bad things, those are good things. But Christ came to do what? To die on the cross for the sins. And if Christ, who came for that, can spend time in the New Testament talking with individuals and healing, he had a pretty intense schedule. Save the world. That's a big to-do list. But if even Christ can come and take time with the individual, then maybe we need to spend some more time with the individual. And I'm not God. We're not God. We don't know what the heart and the mind of Christ is. But we can know it through his word and through his Holy Spirit. And so that's the emphasis. That's the passion and the pleasure of spending time in his word. The substance of the wonder of the miracle is Jesus. That's the substance of the wonder of the miracle. I wanna ask this question. Do miracles produce faith? It can bring get to people's attention, can it? It can get their attention, but the miracle itself isn't the cause of faith. But it can bring us to a place to where, whoa, what just happened? Let's read on and see what's taking place here. Verse 7, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, that's Peter helping him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Over 40 years, he had been carried and set down. Next day, picked up, carried, set down. Next day, picked up, carried, set down. Over 40 years. When you have never walked, you don't know how to walk. You know, I'll never forget, Isaac took the longest of our children to walk. And man, just watching him, I was just like, you know, because when he would take the steps, his legs were just, you know, he had those long legs. And he just, you know, but what a thing. I love what it says here. taken by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. But he's still helping. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Miraculous. Even in the walking and the jumping, miraculous. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. I want you to think about this. If you hadn't walked for over 40 years, you'd be pretty pumped. And it's that childlike exuberance, right? Where I can walk! I'm sure he's not just walking and leaping and praising. When he's praising God, he's yelling praises to God. I've been healed! He's shouting, he's praising, he's jumping. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, this is interesting, they recognized. It's that same guy who's been there his whole life. They recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. What a name for a gate. Truly deserved its name today. It is truly a beautiful gate. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. You see, when God works, something happens, because in something like that, you can't deny what you see. But what do people do with miracles if they refuse faith? They explain it away. They give reason for it. Yeah, I can almost hear, I was putting myself in the minds of the people who refuse to believe, and I can hear what they would be thinking. What I would be thinking in that situation is, does he have a twin brother that we don't know about? You know, all these questions, all these excuses, all these reasons that one could give, that one, you know. But they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Verse 11, while the men held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished, and here it is, and came what? Running. See, something's happening because they've seen this guy year after year, and a lot of people are like, this is miraculous. There's no way around it. They came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. So why was this man healed? He was healed for a purpose, and it wasn't just for the man himself. The people came running to hear. To hear what? To hear the gospel. To hear the gospel. You see, miracles don't save people. Christ Jesus saves people. And we'll get into the specifics of what that means and what that looks like as we continue on. Verse 12, when Peter saw this, he said to them, see, God's brought the people to hear the word of God. I want to encourage us. When's the last time you invited a friend to church? Amen. That's all right. Keep asking. Praise God for that. Thank you, Angel. Amen. Praise God. Guys, if God is who he says he is, if Christ did what he said, guess what? That's the most incredible story. That's the most incredible story there is, because it's a true story. And it's the meaning of life. And we don't have to excuse ourselves for being excited about the most incredible thing that there ever was. I was at a football game yesterday. People were screaming and yelling and cheering. I love getting free tickets to stuff. Man, screaming, yelling, cheering. People like to scream and yell and cheer for things they love. Well, if we love God, it makes sense that we'll be excited about him, sharing with others. But it says, why, fellow Israelites, does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power and godliness we had made this man walk? You see, Peter's wanting to make sure that the truth is clear. Because You know, I look at some of these guys on TV who do healing, and my heart hurts, because sometimes it's clear that it's about a show and it's about money and bringing cash. Not always. But I love it when people do things, because one of the things that I see from Christ is when he heals, man, he rarely makes a big deal out of it, doesn't he? When Jesus Christ walked the earth, he usually says, don't tell anyone. Go and don't sin anymore. And don't, you know, he does things quietly. It's not about the show. It's about the heart. God's after our heart. But why did this happen? I'll tell you a few reasons of why it didn't happen. It's not something to do with mind over matter. It's not something to do with witchcraft. It's not something to do with Peter having this like a superhero power to heal. It's God. It's God. It's his power. It's not about this man's spirituality. It's not even about Peter's spirituality. It's that Christ has a will and a purpose. And God is working through. Verse 13. The God of Abraham. Remember, he's just said, you're looking at us as though we had something to do with this. And then he goes on to say, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the God of our fathers. So he's saying, okay, this God. Now, there's no question of who we're talking about. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over. Remember, Peter is now saying, I'm going to give you the gospel. But the gospel has bad news before it has good news. And the bad news is all of us are broken and don't have a way to Christ. And here he's even saying, and you guys killed him. What does it say? You handed him over to be killed and you disowned him before Pilate, though he decided to let him go. See, Pilate didn't, he let him go. Goes on to verse 14. You disowned the holy and righteous one. Okay, what does we know about Jesus? He's holy and he's righteous. And he was handed over to be killed. And what Peter is saying to the people is, by you. You disown the holy and righteous one and ask that a murderer be released to you, Barabbas. They asked for a killer, a known killer, to be released rather than Jesus. They were given the opportunity. Do we release Barabbas or do we release Jesus? And what did the people who had just been saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A little while later, what did we hear? Crucify him. Free Barabbas, give us Jesus. We want his blood. Let this murderer go. It's a lot to hear if you're the ones that asked for Barabbas. It's a lot to receive, isn't it? What he's saying is, you killed God. Guess what? My sin? Christ has to be on the cross for my sin. Christ has to be on the cross for your sin. He had to die because God is holy and just, and I and we are not. And that sin in us had to be dealt with. And that's love, guys. That's love. You killed, and here it is, verse 15. You killed the author of life. The one who gives life, you killed him. So not is he only glorified and holy and the righteous one, he's the author of life. He says, you killed the author of life. And he's also the one who was raised from the dead. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Guys, we saw him. Some of you saw him walking the earth. We had days and days with him after he resurrected. How many days? 40. To enjoy. To hear. You see, faith came through Jesus Christ. Faith only comes through Christ. It's not faith in something. It's not faith in whatever you want. You got to have faith in something good. It's faith in Christ. Christ Jesus. Goes on to say in verse 16, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him. Notice that word, through him, through Jesus. It's faith through Jesus. Jesus is the one who healed. I love it that Peter is making it clear over and over again. Who healed, what faith really is about. It's through Christ Jesus. And that's the only thing that says that has completely healed him, as you all can see. Now, we're going to continue on next week with the rest of the story, as somebody I once heard say on the radio, the rest of the story. But it's interesting to me that the substance of the wonder is Jesus Christ. And not only the substance of the wonder, but the substance of the word itself is Jesus. The Old Testament, New Testament, the Old Testament is pointing to the need for a Savior. They've gone through kings, they've gone through judges, they've tried every possible way to get some kind of leadership that will deal with the brokenness of humanity. The judges fail, the kings fail. What do? We've tried everything. And then we come to Christ. And it's by the power of Christ that people are saved. As I want to end with this. I was excited because one of the things is, as you know, we're kind of looking at this tall trees, deep roots, and one of the things that I got to be a part of was a young man, Rukundo, and Rukundo was this young man who had become a leader at New Hope Uganda, where Julie and I served for 6 years, trying to bring family into the lives of orphans in Uganda, Africa. And it was a powerful, powerful time, but one of the men, one of the leaders there was Rukundo, and when he was very young, he was made an orphan. He didn't have his mother. He hadn't seen her since he was a young, young boy. And so he had heard through the grapevine that there's this woman who might be his mother. And we didn't know when she was far away, and he came to me and we talked, and as we were talking, he was sharing with me his brokenness and his wound, and we prayed and prayed, and we didn't fully know where we were going. We had just heard some rumors, and so we drove. We drove to the area, and we went out. And as we went out to the area and drove there, we got to a place where the car couldn't go any further. And so we hired these guys on these mopeds. They call them botabotas. And we got on the backs of these little mopeds, and there's these tiny little trails going through the jungle. And we're, and I'm kind of a big man. And if you can picture me on the back of a much smaller man driving a tiny Boda Boda, and we're flying through, and I'm on the back of one, and Rukundo's on the back of another, and we're just going, and we're going, and we're going, and going. And we come to a place where you can't go any further, because it's now the Boda Bodas, there's no even small little trail for them to go. So we get off the boats and we start walking. And we come to this after we've been walking for a while. We see this guy, and they're having conversations, and he thinks he knows of maybe who, and we're walking and walking and walking. We come to this mud home and a couple of mud brick homes that are all together and literally in the middle of nowhere. And as we walk in, there's a woman there who looks exactly like Rukundo. She's got this look on her face, and he's got this wonderment, and she's got this hope. And you see, his heart's need, he needed to know something about his life. He needed to know what was on. He had heard about this. He had all these questions. He'd been praying and praying that God would answer some of these questions of his heart and mind. And so it's a very formal culture in Uganda. And so there's this joy in this. And I'll never forget it, because in the midst of a formal culture, to break the culture rarely happens. And she knows her son, and he knows her, and she hugs him. And as she's hugging him, she starts rocking. And she's rocking and humming this song. And they're both crying, and it's this incredible moment. And we find out this incredible story of what had happened in her life not long before that, and how God had met her and talked to her. And she had been desiring to hear from her son again. And we sat down, and one of the things that was kind of funny was we sat down, it was this formal thing, and they passed around this gourd that was empty, and it had this kind of rotted milk in it, but it was a... And so everybody's, as it's going around, everybody's taking a drink, and it's part of the formal, you know. So it comes to me, and it just smells awful. And I'm like, whew. But I think, you know, I don't want to, you know, be uncourteous. So I take, and I hand it to Rukundo. He goes, oh, no, I can't have that. That's disgusting. I was like, why didn't you tell me? What happened to my stomach that night when we got home? It blew up, and it was as hard as a rock. I don't know what caused it, but oh, it was just monstrous. And it was, a drum. You could boom. I think you tried to play it a little bit, yeah. And, oh, my goodness. But you want to know, didn't you? For me, the stomach went down. For him, his heart. See, his heart that had been broken, his desire to connect, his need to know why, he got to talk to his mom, and they had this time of reconciliation, of healing. And then she came a little while later to visit, and they were in each other's lives. And because of Christ, it wasn't you abandoned you. Why weren't you there? It was, you're my mom, you're my son. And we get to have each other now. You see, the power of God heals and brings people together. And broken people and people who have wounds, I'm talking about deep wounds. You can imagine not having your mom and the pain and all the questions. Why? But the why isn't the important part. The important part is the wholeness that's missing. And Christ heals. I was so excited because I got to be a part of it. I got to see it happen. And when you're praying and when you're hearing from God, he puts you on adventures and in areas, things. He uses you in ways that it's just amazing. And life gets a lot bigger and richer and fuller because we're following Christ. We're following His will. Now, we could have gone and looked forever and ever and never found anyone. But God was speaking. God was moving. And all we had to say was, okay, yes. You're calling us to go, so yeah, we'll go. And then to see that kind of healing and to see in his heart and mind the wholeness. Because he was a wonderful Christian man before we left. But now there were some things that were broken even inside of him that God was healing and blessing and bringing wholeness. God wants us to be emotionally, relationally, spiritually, physically whole. He wants us to be whole in him. And he takes pleasure in it. So guys, my heart, my prayer is that we would have the heart of Peter. That we would be, as we're walking, we would be in step with the Spirit of God. And when God says, stop, engage, we would stop and engage and be a part of what he's doing. And it's amazing when we're a part of what God is doing. He does amazing things and we get to be a part of it. We get to be used. Who are the people in your life who are broken? Who are they? You know them. Let me ask you this. Are you whole right now? Are you whole right now? God wants you to be whole. He's provided a way for you to be whole. Praise God. Praise God that he loves us so much that he'll answer prayers that seem like they can't be answered. Do you have prayer requests? Let them be known. Share them. Seek men and women. In this church family, we need to share. I want to end with just about 2 or 3 minutes of us. Let's stand together right now. And let's just go to God in prayer. And if there's something that you want to thank God for, if there's something that you want to ask God for, just short and sweet, just put it out there. And after a few minutes, as God leads, I'll close in prayer. So go ahead, and as God leads you, lead out in prayer.